The book of Proverbs, chapter number 29. You pray, God, use me to use the Word of God this morning in a right way that it'd be a help to our lives and our church. We need the Lord. Some of you's amens has got broke and you need to tune them back up. We need preaching. Say amen. You'll go to the ball game and holler. You'll let folks know what side you're on when you come in the house of God. Amen. It's still right to say amen in the Bible. Don't panic, honey. We ain't pulling no snakes out here. We shoot snakes here. Let me tell you, our God is worthy of our praise this morning. If it wasn't for God sending His Son, we'd have no hope in this life. But I'm glad not only have I got hope in this life, I have hope in the life to come. That Bible word don't mean I hope I have. It means I'm expecting. I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 17. Correct, my son, and he shall give thee rest. How many people, if they would have corrected their children and done that which God intended them to do, they could be at great rest this morning? Then he says, yea, ye shall give delight unto thy soul. Verse 18 this morning, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy or blessed, is He. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless You. We thank You for the Spirit of God that's in our midst this morning. I want to thank You that You're still the God that is above and a God that is still able of any circumstance and any need that we have in our heart and our life. Dear God, in front of a congregation this morning, I want to cry, I'm a helpless preacher without You. And dear God, without You, I can do nothing. And I'm reminded of John 15. You told me that in the Word. For Lord, You said, without You, we could do nothing. But Lord, with You, I know that God, we can do big things. And we need You to help us. God, I've got a need in my life I need You to help me with. God, I have several needs, and I'm glad You're God, that Lord, that will supply all my needs according to Your riches and glory. Now, God, You know my needs this morning. Now, I pray You'd help me preach. Pray You'd help me preach with power and compassion and a zeal. I pray You'd help me preach with fire this morning. God, I need a touch. I ask You to help us to be a blessing to the people. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You, amen and amen. I'm interested this morning, particularly in verse number 18. The Bible said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to preach on this Bible subject today on getting our sight back. Getting our sight back. Watch your verse. I've noticed this. If a man preaches the Bible, he don't have to apologize about anything he preaches because he didn't write the Bible. He just reads out of the Bible. And if you've not had a preacher tell you what's in the Bible, I'm glad you're here this morning, because you done walked up into a preacher that's going to tell you what's in the Bible. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to say, first of all, there's the seriousness of our vision. Vision is very serious. The Lord's been dealing my heart the last few days about this of losing our sight. I've met several people in this life that they have lost their vision, materially speaking or physically speaking. You'll notice that they have difficult times doing that others that can see do. Our vision is very important. Could I get everybody this morning 1 second just to close your eyes? Realize you can hear, but you cannot see. Wouldn't it be amazing today if God would not only let us hear, but let us see? Now open your eyes to your Bible this morning and let's get right into where God wants us in the preaching. Getting our sight back. And this is what I want to say. Getting our sight back at Liberty Baptist Church. Now, first of all, there's the seriousness of vision. The Bible says the people perish. That's a strong Bible word. People. You know who you are this morning? People. Did you know that people have problems? People have issues. Quit looking for a church without any issues. You show me a church without any issues, I'll show you a church that's empty with no people this morning. We all have issues. Your family's got issues. I'll tell you why, because you're in the family. And so, therefore, there's the seriousness of vision. What does vision do? First of all, vision spiritually, and here he's talking about where there's no vision, the people perish. He said when the people of God, when they've lost their sight, it's a very bad thing. The seriousness. Watch this. What does vision do? First of all, vision gives us purpose. Some of you have lost your purpose. The devil's told you a lie and you've listened to it and you believed it. God is not confused in where He's put you, where He's placed you, or how He's made you. God has made everybody on the sound of my voice this morning for a purpose. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. There's a sovereign God in heaven that has made you on purpose. Are you fulfilling your purpose in this church, in this community, and in your family? You see, the seriousness of vision. Vision gives us purpose. God has a purpose why you're here this morning. God has a purpose why you're on your job where you are today. God has a purpose where you are in your life. Isn't it amazing that it takes hard things? Isn't it amazing that it takes great trouble to get our attention with God? God has purpose in your trials. God has purpose in your testimony. God has purpose in you being alive this morning. God has a purpose. Now, I want to say that this seriousness of vision, when we have our vision, it gives us a purpose. Secondly, if we have the right vision spiritually, it gets us praying. How many of you prayed for our service before you got here this morning? You know, this is the norm of our life and our culture. We're so busy. We run here. We run there. We run in. We wake up. We get everything done. We're out the door and we sit down and say, "Whoa, praise God, I finally made it." When are you going to learn to disconnect? When are you going to learn that you're going to have to disconnect and get plugged into a source that can help you in this whole world? You see, when you have vision, spiritual vision, it gives us purpose. Church, God has a purpose that we're here. God's not done at Liberty. Turn around to who you're sitting by and say, "God ain't done here." turn around and say, God ain't done with you. You say, how do you know that? Because you're living. Getting our vision back gives us purpose. Getting our vision back gets us praying. Our church better get back to praying. I remember in the fall, I'll show you where we are. I announced about 3 Friday nights we'll have special prayer time for our church. There was maybe 9 people, 11 people. I've never preached to so many people that want to do so little. And this morning, if we get our vision back, it gives us purpose. It gets us praying. We need to pray and ask God to help us in this day, in this hour. It gives us purpose. It gets us praying. And I want to say thirdly, I love what was going on this morning. It generates our praise. I've seen people praising God this morning I hadn't seen in a long time. I'm going to tell you, God's worthy of our praise. We've got a Baptist sign up that tells us what we believe and who we are. And honey, let me tell you, Baptist was praising God and honoring the Son a long time ago. It's still all right to praise God and be a Christian in this day, in this hour. He's worthy of our praise. And I tell you what I done figured out, it's done dawned on me, and I know it's going to take several sermons. This is what's done dawned on me. If I quit preaching here, God's going to replace me. And I don't want to be replaced. My heart's here and I want to stay here. I've been here 22 years. I want to be here 22 more. I know that's sad news to some of you, honey, but I want to break the news into you. My heart is at Liberty Baptist Church. God's called me to preach. He saved me. And you need a preacher in your life this morning. You don't need a school teacher on Sunday. You don't need a politician on Sunday. You need somebody to get a hold of God and preach to you. And I've done gone too far to turn back now. I've got a young preacher boy in Alabama fighting a deacon committee. He can't do nothing. If the water fountain breaks, they want to vote to get it fixed. I've never seen so many stupid people in all of my life. Stupid. And you can't fix stupid. I'm not a hireling. I'm not a jack in the box. And I ain't pulling off what's built this ministry. That's preaching. That's praying. That's praising God and loving people. Turn around and tell somebody you love them this morning. You ain't told them that 20 years. Turn around and tell them I love you. Turn around and tell them I love you. Seriousness of our vision. People perish. You see, when we got vision, it gives us purpose. It gets us praying. It generates our praise. It grieves our problems. I love to get with my problems all by myself and get in a dark room and sit there and drown in my problems. If you show me anybody in this building that ain't got a problem, I can tell you this, rainwater's fixing to pull up any minute. Rainwater's coming after you. And you better be ready to meet God. We all got problems. Some bigger than others. It's like minor surgery and major surgery. Minor surgery is when somebody else is getting it. Major surgery is when you getting it. It grieves our problems. And then I want to say it grows our potential. when we have a vision, it grows opportunity. I have never seen so much potential in a ministry. How many weeks, how many churches you think I've seen last year? I guarantee you, I ain't walked in one year of this caliber. There's a man coming next Sunday, going to preach Sunday night, Sunday morning, probably in 100 churches here. You ask him when he stands here. Ask him how many people he's getting seen. Ask him how many people he's seeing get saved in America. Ask him. Ask him how many places he goes that's involved in missions. Ask him how many places he goes where there's a spirit of worship. People come to the altar and pray and go with one another and pray, and people not wonder what you're doing there. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. We got some of the greatest young people in this country. We got some of the greatest bread and butter pickle people. In the country. Say, why are you pickled, preacher? Because you're sired looking. We got some of the greatest bread and butter people in the country. Salt to the earth people. Work hard. Good people. Boy, I'm going to tell you, we've not yet reached our potential. When you have a vision, God can grow you into what God wants you to be and what God needs you to be. Some of you need to leave your cell phones in the dashboard. Some of you more interested in your iPhones and Facebook during service than the man of God preaching the Word of God. And you need to grow up and keep that junk in your car. If you're so addicted to your iPhone, you need to go to rehab. Grows our potential. Seriousness of vision. Secondly, the scope of our vision. What should our vision be? You've been going to church a long time. What should be the scope of our vision? What should our vision be? Things bother me. Things bother you. There's something been hanging there 2 weeks bothers me. I don't know what it is, but I don't like it. It's hanging down off the side. I see stuff bothers me. Nothing bothers y'all no more. You come in and play with your iPhone an hour. You come in, you ain't even prayed. Ain't even read your Bible all week. Well, that's a preacher's job. Show me that in the Bible. Nobody screamed, but it's like a praying mantis or I don't know what that thing is. Maybe the FBI got the place bugged. I don't know what it is. They got all kind of new stuff today. Now I'm getting somewhere. Hang on. You can go light your grills after a while, but I'm going to preach to you while you're here. The scope of our vision. What should our vision be? First of all, we ought to have a vision of heaven. Matthew 6:19. Turn with me now. Little preaching ain't going to mess you up today. Matthew 6:19. The scope of our vision. We ought to have a vision of heaven. We've lost sight of heaven. Matthew 6:19. Now watch your Bibles. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. God showed me something yesterday. Our families just moved this week. A lot of you thought I'd be wore out and couldn't preach. I'm ready to preach this morning. It's amazing the junk you can collect in 34 years in one house. It's amazing. I'm getting back to the Bible. I got a point right here God showed me yesterday. And the Buchanan kid showed it to me. That's helping us move. That's what it says. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and break through, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Watch, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We got an attic. We got ready. We got all them rooms cleaned out. And then you know what Macy said? Daddy, the attic. I said, are you kidding me? We run the Buck County boys up. And it was hot. And you know what one of them done, Brother Randall? They handed me a box down. And you ask my wife, from about 20 years old to 28 years old, I guarantee you 2 to 3 days a week, you know what I was? And I'm not throwing rocks at nobody this morning. I'm making an illustration. I was on West Point Lake. I could go down that river. They know the sound of my motor. Fish knowed me by name. You would not believe the trophies and the plaques them boys handed me out in a box. And that's what Macy said. Daddy, ain't you going to take them? But that was my total focus and my drive. 30 years ago, Brother Mike, it ain't my drive no more. You got any idea how much money I spent on them fish trophies? You got any idea? Honey, I'm telling you, I was running a milk route then from 2:30 in the morning to 7 at night. I'm telling you what, buddy, you talking about work. And you talking about not making much. Any of y'all ever run a milk truck for a living? You know what we done? We called Brother David Robinson. They brought us one of them big red rollback dumpsters out in our yard. And you know what happened to every one of them trophies but one? They went in the dumpster. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What are you sending ahead of you? I think it's timely to read this. I love quotes that I've written down from old men going on. I've read it here 100 times. It's 101 now. Listen what he said. He'd been in heaven a while. A man said, what have you learned since you've been here? He said, I learned 3 things. He said, it's what I learned. What I spent, I lost. What I saved, I left. But what I gave, I have. What are you giving for heaven above? And I said all that to say this morning, if we'll get our vision back right, then we'll quit looking at this old world so strong. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there's nothing wrong with enjoying life, have balance. I think every man ought to learn to fish and hunt or play golf or do something to get him out of the house. I think young'uns need to get back to having slingshots and marbles and checkerboards and having gun smoke CDs. It sure beat what they looking at, what they listening to when you ain't a-watching them. A boy ain't going to get in trouble in a boat and a fishing pole or a bird dog and a gun. Let him be a boy. You see, the scope of our vision, we need the vision of heaven. Then we ought to have a vision of hope. 1 Peter 1:13. You say, Brother Ken, what'd you do when you throwed all them trophies and plaques in the dumpster? I never give it a second thought. If you'd have done that to me 30 years ago, I'd have fought you over them. 1 Peter 1:13. Somebody say, good preaching, preacher. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end.
for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or that's behavior, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The scope of our vision, a vision of heaven, a vision of hope. And then, we need a vision of Him. Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And look at this. And the sin which just so easily beset us. And you got one that sets you back. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we get our vision back, we'll have a vision of heaven. We'll have a vision of hope. But we sure do need another fresh vision of Him. Jesus is coming. He's coming. And you better be born again when He gets here. I'm not talking about churchy. I'm not talking about doing good. You can't do enough good to go to heaven. This Bible said you must be born again. We need a vision of Him. He's the altogether lovely one. He's so wonderful. There's nobody like Jesus. You know something? If we hurt our friends as much as we hurt Christ, it would be an amazing thing if He reacted to us the way others react to us when we hurt them. It would be an amazing thing. We live a lifestyle that grieved Him so many times. But you know what He said? He never ever told me this. Ken, get. This is what it says. Come here, Ken. Come here, Ken. Ain't it amazing? The Revelation church age, Laodicea church, Revelation chapter number 3. The same church that made God sick, that would spew them out of His mouth. He said, you make me sick. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. You're complacent. You're at ease in Zion. That kind of church makes God sick. Jesus is at the door knocking. Wanting in. Ain't that amazing? Ain't nobody like Jesus. Hey, He loves you this morning. You know how come I'm telling you He loves you? This Bible says He loves you and He gave His life on a cross for you. No Pope never loved you like that. No Baptist preacher can save you. No minister can do nothing about your sin. It takes Christ and Christ alone to forgive us of our sins. But aren't you glad He said, if we would confess our sins, that's the problem, we don't want to confess our sins, then He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It ain't nothing like having a spiritual bath. Seriousness of the vision, the scope of our vision. We need a vision of heaven back. We need a vision of hope. We have hope. You may feel helpless, but you have hope. We need a vision of Him. Then we need a vision of the hindered. Galatians 6, verse number 1. Galatians 6, verse number 1. I'm trying to cut this sermon down, so pray for me. Galatians 6. Verse number 1. I left here Sunday night. I said, honey, how's the preaching? She said, it was way too long. She said, you can get a whole lot more said in a quicker time. What you doing? Hey, some shake your little head up there. Some of you won't even come and see. At least she's here and know what's going on. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. You say, I'm mad. Good. Good, 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 good. I'm offended. I tell you why you're offended. You think too much of yourself. That's why you're offended. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Anybody got a burden? Anybody got problems? Why do you think we go to the altar with people? We're bearing burdens. We're helping, trying to be a blessing. Bear you one another's burdens. You see your brother down out or your sister down out, the first thing you ought to do is try to respond and help them. You don't beat them down and push them off. You try to help them. Bear you one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Watch this right here. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. You think you something? You deceiving yourself. The scope of our vision. We need a vision of heaven. We need a vision of hope. We need a vision of Him. We need a vision of the hindered. John 4:35. We need a vision of the harvest. John 4:35. I'm hurrying, but I just ain't done. John 4:35. We need a vision not only of Him and the hindered, but of the harvest. John 4, verse number 35. Say not ye there yet 4 months and then come of harvest, but I say unto ye, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. We need a vision of the harvest. Would you please, everybody, look at your preacher 1 second. I'm nearly done preaching. And I want you to hear this, and I want to say it in the right kind of spirit. This is out of my heart for this congregation this morning as your preacher is what I want to say. The harvest. We have Wednesday night. Our church is still open. We have young people that need to hear Bible teaching. They need to know about Christ. Does that not matter to you? You say, well, our preacher's not here. Well, are you worshiping a preacher or are you worshiping Jesus? I can tell you this, if I ain't here, I'm in church preaching the gospel, doing what this Bible says do, doing the work of an evangelist, being the main missionary out of your church. And if you think that's an easy life, why don't you take off 6 weeks and go with me? Put your stuff in a suitcase every Monday morning, leave everybody you know and love and come back Friday and do it 40 weeks next year and see how you feel. I'm not complaining. I'm thrilled about being a preacher. I'm just saying some of y'all, you've got preacher religion and you've lost focus on Him. And somebody's got to keep preaching at this place. You know what I'm fixing to do? Because I'm so thrilled I got to preach this and got this off me this morning. I'm fixing to go eat the biggest hamburger this evening you've ever seen in all your life. See, this thing about some of you make excuses, well, preachers, here I'd come. You know something? I could cancel every meeting I've got from now to Jesus comes and you wouldn't come. I could put gold marbles in the driveway. You wouldn't come. You just hunting another excuse to cop out on God. That's all you doing. Oh, I preach out here on Wednesday night. It don't mean nothing. Oh, it don't. Well, don't it mean something to your children? Don't it mean something to your grandbabies? Look how many people's in this church. We can't even get enough teachers to teach on Wednesday. I got a Sunday school director that's about ready to jump off the back steps. I love you, Brother Andy. Stand up, say, I'm with you. Stand up, you don't say nothing. Stand up, say, amen. And you that are missed, you won't even call. We got a saying in Georgia, I be Johnny. If I ever find Johnny, when we get to heaven, I want to sit down and talk to him. I be Johnny. I'll call. I'll be 500 miles. Honey, how was church? Oh, Brother Mike, Brother Dwayne, Brother Jerry, Brother Randy, Brother Adam, they did a great sermon. Nobody was there to listen to them. Hello, phone's ringing. Pick it up. You'll make it to the ball field. Your priority's messed up. Your priority's messed up. You do what you want to do instead of what the Bible says. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but the more as you see the day approaching. That's why we have church on Wednesday night. We rednecks need preaching. Turn around and tell somebody by you, because they real mad. Say, you need preaching. Turn around and tell them, you need preaching. Tell them, you need preaching. It's so quiet, you so mad you can't talk. Hey, y'all, let me say something as a grown-up adult, as a seasoned preacher that don't know a lot, but I know I've got to have him. But let me tell you something. If we're going to keep this church running, you've got to do your part. I had a family. They ain't here no more. This is what they said. I can't believe so-and-so called off his Sunday night service. I wished I'd had the guts to say this. I tell you why I ain't got service, because people like you won't come back. I'm so tired of people whining at the preacher, and you think, I got to be your whipping boy, and you tell me anything, but I can't tell you nothing. I'll just start firing it back to you. I ain't your whipping boy. I ain't your puppet. I ain't even your buddy. I'm your preacher. You need a preacher. I got to have a place. Come on, Miss Sherry. I got to have a place my grandyoungins go to church. And let me tell you, I'm not mealy-mouthing. I'm not poor-mouthing. I'm preaching you what God's put in my heart to preach this morning. And I know there'll be 95 devils camp out around me in about 45 minutes. But would you just do this? Would you pray for your preacher this evening? Some of you used to come by and tell your preacher, that's a good sermon, preacher. Don't you think a man of God wants to hear that? You got so used to the man of God here. You know, my mama, she made the best gravy and biscuits I've ever eaten. Let me tell you what. I live with the greatest woman in the country. I'm not belittling my wife. I'm just telling you what I had coming up. I had lard, milk, gravy, and biscuits. My mama's gravy was so thick, you didn't pour her gravy, honey. You slung it off the spoon to get it. You slung your spoon. I thought everybody was eating that. Till I left, Brother Adam, and I realized what I had. Let me tell you something. I'm not here to run nobody off. I'm here to help you and tell you the truth. And if you're going to get mad at your preacher and leave, then you got an issue. That's all I know to tell you. You got an issue, and I can't help you with that. I've told you the truth. Now, if you want to let the devil blow you out and get out where many other families went and sat home, let your young'uns die and go to hell, then you're headed there if you take your feelings home with you this morning. You know what you ought to do? First of all, you ought to thank God there's a God concerned enough about you, He'll give you a preacher. I know we're tired. Man, can I say something my daughter told me Wednesday night? And she's so honest. Can't I just be a preacher and preach to you a minute and give you my heart? I said, baby, what's wrong with Wednesday night? You know what my daughter told me? She's so honest. She said, Daddy, we're tired. Isn't that right? Young couples, isn't that right? But let me ask you something. Why are we so tired? Is our priorities out of balance? I know we got young families. Both of you work. You got bills. You can't quit your job. I know that. I worked 25 years in corporate world. I know what I'm preaching this morning. But let me tell you something. When we raised our children, we disconnected and we come to church. My kids played ball. They cheerleaded. I hunted. I fished. And God blessed me because I had my priorities right, Brother David. We've got too busy for God. And it's going to tell on us. I know a lot of you live 40 miles. I'm not asking you to do something I wouldn't do. And I'm not backpedaling on the sermon. I'm just saying I can relate to where you live. I know you're busier than you've ever been. But when you get too busy to put God first in your life, you've got too busy. Listen to your preacher, you've got too busy. You've got to disconnect sometime. You remember when you used to pray? Remember when you used to have family devotion? Remember when you'd pray around your meal? Where no vision is, the people perish. Open these altars this morning. You can come this morning, whatever you need. I can tell you this, our church needs revival. And we need members that'll get their vision back. Would you come this morning? This altar's open. I don't know what you need.